Good morning, friends, and welcome to our new series, Hope in Uncertain Times. We're going to be talking about hope today and the uncertainty that we're facing right now. Surprised that we're dealing with this topic, right? I want to start out with a story. I had a conversation with a friend of mine just recently, and this person is a planner. They like lists. They like to be able to work out exactly what needs to get done and how to get done. If there's a point A to a point B where things need to get accomplished, they like to outline every step of the process. They like to eliminate as much uncertainty from life and chaos as they can and get it done. And they're amazing at being able to figure out every single step of the way, how to get from here to here, how to start a project and do it with excellence to the end and finish it with excellence. And they think of details that no one else thinks of. And when I talked to them this week, they were in a tailspin. Because they said, you can't plan in this environment. On Monday, you think you're planning for this, and by the time you get to Friday, the world seems like it's completely different. And they said, my struggle is the fact that my planning gives me a sense of direction. It calms my fears. It gives me a sense of purpose and even more hope that I am able to respond to the world and what's happening out there and know that I'm moving in the direction that I want to go. But they said it's not working. It's not working for most anybody. The level of uncertainty and chaos that we're dealing with right now, it's not unprecedented. We've been through, as a nation and as a world, through tremendous periods of uncertainty and chaos. But it's certainly big for us right now. And so today I want to talk about a principle that another type A, driven, get stuff done, hyper planner, with a vision and a high flying kind of person, learned in scripture. That was Paul. What he learned and how this was so critical and how it impacted his life and what it meant for him it literally changed him when he realized what God was trying to teach him. So before we jump into that, I would like us to reflect for just a second on the word hope. And that's in part because hope makes me smile. As a matter of fact, there are several people in my life whose name is Hope. And every time I think of them, they make me smile. It's, for some reason, just the word is a beautiful word, isn't it? It feels warm. It feels positive. It conveys that the future is going to be better than what today is. And so just that word is it's important to our souls. If you have discovered someone who's lost all hope, who has no sense of hope, they're probably in depression and despair. It's a crucial element for our soul. So, but when we use the word hope, I want you to think with me about how we use it. So we use the word hope to mean, this is what I'd like to see happen. So we say things like, I hope I get this gift for my birthday. Which means I'd like to have it, right? I hope I get an A in that class. I hope that the plumber fixes the problem and doesn't cheat me. I hope that that I get to go to my favorite restaurant with my friends and that the restaurant's following all the health regulations. So a hope means this, and some hopes are smaller than others, right? I mean, some hopes are really big, right? Some people, their hope and a dream become synonymous, like, I hope I can climb Mount Everest, right? So hope means this is kind of where I want to go, this is what I want to do. But hope also has that sense of it might not happen. Because I want it to happen doesn't mean that it will happen. And sometimes the way that we say it emphasizes the doubt in it. So, for example, we might say, I hope they get that project done on time. And what we mean by that is, I want them to have it done on Wednesday, but the way that they work and the patterns that I'm seeing, I have some significant doubts as to whether that's actually going to be done by Wednesday. So we have this sense of hope first being kind of what we want, but also this sense of doubt because we don't always get what we want. We don't always get the preferred future. And usually our hope makes our lives, or at least we think at the time it makes our lives better, right? Hope, well, very few people hope for an uglier life or a negative life. Most of us hope for really, really positive things, things that we would just love to see happen, things that are almost dreamlike sometimes. And yet, if we were to think about it for just a second, at different times in our lives, the things that we hope for change. And on top of that, some of the things that we hoped for when we were younger, well, some of them we got and they weren't at all what we thought they were going to be. And in fact, some of them weren't even positive. Some of them turned out to be ugly. We were wrong about the hopefulness of them, about the positiveness of them. So I'd like to look at, having understood that, I want to take a look at Paul. And Paul is this guy. He grew up in the right family, went to the right schools, and ended up becoming a priest, and then met Jesus. And interestingly, his life was, kind of priestly. Let me just ask you a question. How wild a life do you think I live? I own a 2010 4Runner, 2006, 2010 Honda Civic. I don't go to parties. My life is not wild, and Paul's wasn't either. In fact, his life became more uncertain and chaotic after he met Jesus than before. Now, I know some of you are saying to me, Pastor, why would you say that when we're talking about hope in the middle of chaos? Because I want to prepare you for what Paul discovered. He started in the same place we were. He was a planner who had his own hopes and dreams, his picture of where he wanted to be and what he wanted to do, his family's picture of where he wanted to be and what he wanted to do. And it involved so many of the same things. Where he was going to grow up, the schools he was going to go to, the people he was going to hang out with, the internships he was going to get, the jobs he was going to get, where that took him, all of those kinds of things that we like to do in life, he and his family did. And after he met Jesus and began to live out his life, he began discovering something very different about God. That even though he was a priest, he had not understood up to this point in time. And as a result of that, in the book of Romans, he writes two verses that help transform how he dealt with chaos and uncertainty. And in the first century, because of political upheaval, the Roman Empire, and Christianity itself, all of those things, it was a mess. And so Paul writes these words to the church in Rome. And it's really, in some respects, a culmination of so much of what's in the earlier part of the book. In Romans chapter 15, he writes these words. I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we're going to look at today is the first part of this, because if we don't get the first part of this, he's laying out some things that he's talked about earlier in Romans and in other letters. And if we don't get a sense of those concepts along the way, we're not going to understand his whole thought. So the concept that we're going to try and understand today is his thought, I pray that God, the source of hope. Now, we've talked about the fact that when we share the words, I hope that, I would like to see, the source of that hope is largely here. It's in our own hearts. Sorry if I messed with my microphone. And as a result of that, I mean, that's the normal human thing, right? Like, our hopes are our hopes. And they can be individual, they can be family, they can be for a group of people, they can be for our church or for our race or whatever it is. But they are ours. They come from within us. And Paul came to understand that there's a difference between his hopes and God's hopes. And so he began to talk and write about that experience by saying, I pray that God, the source of hope, he began the shift from being a person who said, this is where I want to go, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to accomplish, here's where I want my life to be, to saying, well, I think God actually has a picture for my life. I think God has a plan for my life. I think God has a preferred understanding of who he wants me to be, what he wants me to do, where he wants me to go, and my place on this planet. And so when he began to grasp that, it affected so much else about his life. He started out by saying, I'm going to begin with my hopes and dreams and plan and work off of that to hopefully get where I want to go. And then he began to change his entire life to say, I believe that God has hopes and dreams for me. I believe that God has a direction he wants me to go. And so, having endured some amazingly hard things in life, he wrote these words for us today. I pray that God, the source of our hope. And he's telling us that God loves us and cares about us enough that he sits down and thinks about a preferred future for us, who he wants us to be, the best life that we could have, the best way that we could spend our lives. Now, is this really a surprise? I mean, how many of you have thought about that for your children? How many of you have hopes and dreams for your children? How many of you say, I think it would be wonderful? And you may not say it out loud. There was a time when people did. You may not say it out loud, where you think to yourself, I hope that my kid, fill in the blank. I hope that my kid, you know, goes on and is an engineer, or and there are things that we don't pick. You know, there are careers that very few people say, I'd like my kid to do, you know, whatever. But there are many areas that we say, yes, this is what I'd like my child to do. And sometimes we steer them and sometimes we don't. So is it a surprise that God has in his heart a preferred future for us in terms of who we are and what we do and where we end up and how we spend our lives? And Paul said, when I began to understand that, it affected the way I saw uncertainty, chaos, and life's circumstances. Because I came to believe that a shipwreck was not going to keep me from doing what God wanted me to do and getting where God wanted me to go and becoming who God wanted me to become, as long as I was in partnership with God. That if I remain in partnership with the living God, that was going to work. And so, Paul came to a place where, despite amazing things happening to him, hard things happening to him, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 5 times the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at the sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I faced dangers from rivers and robbers. I faced dangers from my own people. I faced dangers in cities and deserts and seas, from people that I thought were believers and weren't. I've worked hard and long and during sleepless nights, been hungry and thirsty and gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without enough clothing to wear. And he says, despite all of this, I've come to believe, think about it, God loves me, has a plan, and is the source of my hope. And I need to ask you, if you believe deep down that you are the source of your hope, when uncertainty or chaos or calamity happens, you're going to feel the crushing weight of responsibility to try and work through and succeed despite life circumstances. You're going to feel the hopelessness of not being able to respond when the waters don't push your boat the direction you want them in. You're going to feel lost. But if you come to be convinced to the core of your being that God is the source of your hope, it will transform these moments. If you believe that you are partnering with a God who wants only good things for you and who's willing to use everything to help you, everything that happens to help you, it will change the way you see uncertainty and chaos. Now, truth be told, you can resist and you can do foolish things. Paul addresses both of those issues in other parts of his writing. But I just want to pause and ask, who or what is the source of your hope right now? Because as we move into a different place of uncertainty, it can cause your soul just to go into another tailspin. But if you believe to the core of your being that God is the source of your hope, none of that can change the plans or the work that God is doing. And you will react and respond with a different level of peace and joy. We're going to talk about that next week. If you believe this, would you pray with me? Father God, we want to thank you for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. We want to thank you for loving us and for being the source of our hope. We ask that we would put our trust in you and enable you to be our guiding influence. That the circumstances of uncertainty and chaos would not breed fear in us, but that we would know with a deep confidence that you have good things for us, plans for a future, one that we may not understand or even imagine on our own, but one nevertheless that's beautiful because of who you are and what you'd like to do with us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. When I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name, blessed be. When the sun is shining down on me, when the world is all as it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed blessed be your name. On a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, turn back to pray. Oh, when the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Still I will say, blessed be the name.